Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Party Down, Season 3, Episode 5 is over, but we're just getting started here on Post Show Recaps. I'm Dr. Amanda, and I just ate an entire tray of hot urchin, Emily, so if we can just try to keep this one tight, I think that'll be really helpful.
Pull through. You just need to get your business card.
Pressure makes diamonds, Emily. We're going to do it. How are you doing?
I'm much better than Ron is in this episode. I'm actually doing great. I felt his pain in his stomach, though. I've been there before, not with hot urchin, but, you know, I think everyone's had an experience with food poisoning.
Yeah.
Glad to say that that is not the case today for myself personally.
So you have a trusted urchin guy. You don't have to worry about your urchin guy.
You know what? I don't think I've ever carved out a specific urchin guy for myself or for work, but I do know of a few purveyors that might be on the list. So,
okay. Hopefully not the same one that Lucy uses. No.
Anybody that keeps urchin that's A, stolen, and B, in a hot car, not on my list.
That is great to hear. So a little bit of housekeeping up front here on the Party Down podcast. If you are just joining us for season 3, we've been having a great time. I know that you've been having a great time. I can only assume. Like I said, people, we can't hear you. You can only hear us. But we did recap all of seasons 1 and 2, and they are there for you to peruse at your leisure. So you feel free to go back and check out that coverage. We had a lot of fun catching up with the full series. Subscribe to the podcast feed. It's a great way to help people find the podcast. It helps you keep up with everything we're doing. This is the penultimate episode of season 3.
It went by so fast.
I know. It's flown by. We'll have one more episode to cover in the finale. I don't know. Maybe we'll do something else in this feed, but you'll want to be locked in for everything so you can subscribe by following our RSS link. That's postshowrecaps.com/partydown, or you can do that by searching Post Show Recaps Party Down in your podcatcher of choice. And, you know, Emily, last week I came on here and I made a really sincere plea to the listeners.
You did.
To rate and review. And I, you know what? My squeaky wheelness was rewarded because we did get a great new 5-star review. From user ETT17. So thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
For that. I did have some people in the Discord tell me that they think that we're great, which is always appreciated. So
yeah, votes of confidence. We love that.
Keep it coming. It's an RDD. That's, you know, rating and reviewing. That is an RDD. That's 3 R's, 2 D's. And that's a Ron Donald do, not a Ron Donald don't, which I pronounce RDD. That's how you can tell the difference. It's RDD or RDD. So rate, review, give us your star ratings. If you're so compelled, we really appreciate it. So without further ado, Emily, let's go back to a fairy tale land far, far away. Once upon a time, proms away, promotional event is the title of this episode.
We love a play on words. Did you enjoy your prom personally? Did this bring up like vast memories of junior senior prom?
Yeah. So, you know, in this episode, we definitely go through a bunch of the Party Down cast members reminiscing about their prom experience. So it does, you know, it does sort of bring up the question, what were our prom experiences like? I did actually once get an opportunity to talk about prom experiences when I was on the New Girl, Old Guy podcast
with
the great Ali and Akiva. And we covered the episode Virgins, where there's a whole prom losing virginity plotline. I got to talk about proms. I went to 3 proms, Emily.
Oh my God, you're so popular.
Not to flex, I did go to 3 proms. I went to prom as a junior, as a senior, and I went as a sophomore with somebody who was older. So yeah, it was pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I guess so.
Proms were like not like the prom itself. I feel like there was a lot of it was really focused on the prom after party. So yeah. I'm from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. It was always like a Jersey Shore type of destination. Like whose family had a beach house, who could go, like, you know, there was all the, you know, there's no parents, but this is how what we're going to tell the parents so that they think that there's, you know, it was a lot of that. Kind of shenanigans. I remember like very little of the prom itself. Like, I of course remember like the dresses that I wore and everything that was involved and like, you know, the hairstyles.
Oh my God, the hairstyles. That in itself is a time capsule.
Mm-hmm. But what's your prom experience?
I went to my junior prom and my senior prom. My best friend for the junior prom broke up with her boyfriend right before. Whoa. So she didn't have a date and I naturally just did not have a date. So we became each other's dates. And I think everyone thought that that was kind of cute and also like, oh God, here they are again. Tweedledee and Tweedledum kind of move. But yeah, we had very, very large hairstyles. Mm-hmm. I believe I was wearing like a seafoam greenish blue kind of color with a lot of sequins. So I really showed up. But my senior year, I went with a friend of mine who was happy to be my date. And we got a stretch.
Whoa.
We got a stretch navigator, I think. Wow. And everyone was like, check it out. Look at this. Mm-hmm. But then we had to sign a contract with our parents saying that we weren't going to drink afterwards. But we went to a campsite and I smoked a cigar. And that was about as badass as it got. It was just a jewel suite or something like that.
It sounds magical, Emily. It's
something every little girl dreams about.
No pig's blood involved, though.
No. We had no references of Carrie come up. And yeah, ultimately it was a pretty safe fun. We did a good job. We had a good time together, but yeah, we were pretty clean cut. We didn't do a lot of bad stuff.
That's very, very sweet. Well, poor Escapade did not have this opportunity, Emily, that you and I have collectively 5 proms among us, and poor Escapade, nary a single prom.
That's right.
Because she had booked an adult diaper ad and they needed drama for her reel. So she missed her actual prom.
Devastating.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you can look back on that fondly. You know what I mean? That's the kind of thing where in retrospect, maybe you should have just gone to the prom.
Well, I mean, you have to think though, it's like that's the grind that you need to do to make it in this biz. And would Escapade be the successful actress she is today? I really like the idea that an adult diaper ad is drama.
Yeah, and that's her big break.
But Lydia is going to make up for all of that by throwing this prom themed party, which is also going to double as a promotional event for her upcoming film, Proms Away. And Lydia has a kind of hidden agenda here to make sure that Escapade is having the time of her life, because she's becoming insecure that Escapade is going to fire her and sign with a different agent. But Escapade herself has a hidden agenda of her own, and that's to set up her mom with this said agent that Lydia is afraid she's about to be fired for. So it's kind of this like gift of the magi plot, but with a prom party.
Yeah, I mean, it's sneaky of Escapade, but in a lot of ways, I think it's kind of showing the differences in age and sort of figuring out like, okay, who am I now? And I've been acting my whole life, and that's really stressful. And how do I be nice to my mom? Whereas I think Lydia, on the other hand, is kind of like watching her back, where she's like, I'm a momager. Am I going to be replaced by this other manager? Like, you know, he's the best in the biz. don't love seeing his name there. And there's a lot of paranoia going around. But, you know, ultimately the prom is to have a good time, right? So everyone's going to do their best.
Mm-hmm. That's the idea. We have everybody at the Party Down Catering Squad is going to end up reminiscing about their own prom experiences. But also there's a very important guest at this party. The EVP of another events company. Her name That's is right. Sloan Meats, and she's an event legend, Emily.
I mean, she shows up. She has like a certain swagger to her where mm-hmm. she really intimidates everybody when she walks into a room. Like everyone knows who she is. Everyone sees her as like
Sloan Meats.
Yeah, Sloan Meats. Great name. I mean, I love just her standing there at the bar ordering a martini from Henry. Mm-hmm. And it's an incredible experience to watch her just really have like these like, you know, really intense moments with everybody because everyone wants to impress her. Right. And she's very intense. To impress. Yes. Yeah.
She's very intense. Everybody wants to impress her, especially Ron, who is very intent on exchanging business cards with Sloan, getting in that Rolodex, because if you're in Sloan's Rolodex, then you're going to get lots and lots of catering work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, we want to make a good impression with Sloan. We want her to be really enticed by the service, by what's being done production wise. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she looks around, she gives her sort of critical eye to everything, and she's like, okay, all right. So yes. It's a lot.
She's
it's
a tough customer. Yes. So Sloan is played by Lyric Lewis, who is great here in this role, but I wasn't really familiar with her work before this. I looked her up on IMDb. She was in this TV show, the sitcom AP Bio, which I never saw, okay. But Glenn Howerton is also stars in it. So that looks interesting. Mm-hmm. And then we have Escapade, who do you remember the actress who played Escapade as a young girl in season 2?
Yes, I do. She has gone on to do many big things.
Yeah. Somebody like one of my friends was watching and was like, oh my God, she like this actress. I think she was also in Dope Sick, Emily. Is
yes,
that right?
She is. Yep. Mm-hmm. Her name is escaping me right now. I'm trying to look it up.
Her
really
name
quickly.
Is Escapade is escaping you. But this Escapade today, the adult Escapade we see before us is played by Liv Houston, who is an Australian actor, which is interesting because I've been watching a lot of Succession lately, and she kind of right. does remind me of Sarah Snook. They kind of have a similar look.
Caitlin Dever,
right. That's the original
I don't
Escapade.
Know how to say her last name.
And now we yes. have Liv Houston as adult Escapade in this episode. So Lydia is going to reminisce about her own prom a little bit. That's where mm-hmm. she met her ex, Ed, Emily. You remember Ed?
Oh, was he the captain of the football team?
Close. The coach of the football team.
Yikes, Lydia. Don't tell anyone else that.
Well, she is going to tell a few people that. Yeah. But this is the Ed that we heard so much about right after Lydia's divorce in the first, in the second season of Party Down when she joins the squad. So in order to make this like a really magical night, Lydia's gone so far as to invite the boy who had asked Escapade to prom, lo those many years ago, Bobby Danda.
what a name.
We see him there and, you know, Escapade is being a really great sport. They're taking pictures. It's really fun. And then we see Bobby go and make out with his boyfriend.
which seems like sort of like a recycled high school trope, but I love it nonetheless. I love it in this context.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of the recycled high school tropes of it yeah. all when we go back to prom. Yeah, Lydia complains that she's been in Hollywood so long, but she doesn't even have the most rudimentary gaynar. It's like sonar, but yeah. for who's gay.
Gaynar, yes.
Well, gaydar is like radar, but for yes. who's gay. And gaynar is like sonar before who's gay. So it's like if you're in the dark, is
if
that
you were the Little Mermaid, it might make more sense.
Oh, okay. If you're underwater.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Is it sonar? Is like do bats use sonar or do bats use echolocation? Do you have to be in the water? So you have to be in the water for it to be sonar.
So. That's okay. Me making a scientific decision for us both. Okay. I don't know. You're a doctor. Shouldn't you know these things?
I should know. I should know literally everything. And sometimes I falter. It's really
echolocation is for bats and other sort of like night vision type animals.
Okay. I do want to know the sonar versus echolocation. Echolocation versus sonar.
It's like a really disturbing, unsavory fact is that a lot of the wind energy that we get is screwing up animals that have echolocation. Mm-hmm. So you see those huge turbines that are turning, and it actually disturbs a lot of natural habitats like bats, birds, that kind of thing, because of echolocation.
So echolocation is the same as active sonar, using sounds made by the animal itself.
Yeah.
Ranging is done by measuring the time delay between the animal's own sound emission and any echoes that return from the environment. Right. So echolocation is a method used to detect objects by producing a specific sound and listening for its echo. Sonar stands for sound navigation, and ranging is the process of listening to specific sounds to determine where objects are located. So it doesn't have anything to do with the water.
Interesting. Okay. Proven wrong. There you go.
So the Lydia's gaynar powers can work on land and at sea. So that's a good news about
that.
This
is helpful. Yeah. She needs to be able to tap into that wherever she might be.
Yes, she needs to work on it. Escapade looks like she's having fun at the party, but the problem with having a kid actor is you never know what's real, Emily.
That's right. It's pretty interesting because we find out later that Escapade is just sort of like, I'm placating everybody in these moments. Like,
yeah, she's.
I just am trying to make it through all of this, which is pretty devastating when you think about that on a day-to-day basis, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the cool things about bringing Lydia into the cast in season two was getting this different perspective on like Hollywood through the eyes of somebody who has a child who's trying to make it big. And then we've had, you know, going back to episode two of this season, when sort of Lydia gets it in her head, like, oh, are child actors sometimes not well-adjusted adults? Like, maybe this is something we should think about. And then we're going to see a little bit now that we actually have Escapade introduced in this episode, what it's been like for her to work so hard and sort of have this be
her entire life,
of her entire childhood. Right. But Lydia is going to try to ensure that Escapade has a great time by telling Saxon to go and dance with her. I never want to see her not having fun. And Kyle also kind of steps in and he's like, oh, you know, like Escapade's always sort of liked me. I could go and dance with her.
And Kyle's like, aged out.
He's too old.
It's so bad. It's a great moment where he's realizing that. And she's like, no, it's okay. Like, she wants to be with other people. Like, she really does respect you, but like, get out of here. And he's like, oh, okay.
She wants to have fun with cool people her age.
Yeah.
And then this is when Lydia sees that Ted Fine is there and gets really concerned that he's trying to steal Escapade. So she tells Saxon to get rid of him. And he says, you mean like murder?
She's like, no, just make him leave. And he's like, okay, like pretending, like
you can tell that she's like sort of like mildly considering it, like, yeah. Oh no, we probably don't have to go that far,
right.
And like he does, I guess that was Saxon ends up spilling wine on Ted, and Ted has to leave. He apologized to Lydia that he didn't have a backup shirt, and we know from episode one that you always need a backup shirt, Emily.
That's right, you always do. That's an RDD.
So
come on, Ted.
But we sort of see that like maybe Ted is being a little bit flirtatious with Lydia. There's a suggestion of that. And later when Escapade and Lydia meet in the lobby, Lydia kind of confronts Escapade, like, you admit it, you invited Ted to the party I planned so that you could talk behind my back about firing me. It's just classic Ted, three-dimensional Ted. Height, width, and length, all three of the dimensions.
Unbelievable.
Right there. But it was a setup, Emily.
That's right. So Escapade's just thinking about Lydia, and maybe it's time she found somebody that she can, you know, walk the walk and talk the talk with, right? Who better than another manager? So, you know, it's thoughtful of Escapade to do that, but I also do wonder if Escapade's like, maybe she could learn a thing or two from him too. Like they could be together and then like really supersize my career. You know, yeah. There is that kind of, underlying tone there potentially.
Yeah. It's interesting. I would love to have heard more about like Lydia's like love life in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Is it existent at all other than the men she would meet at these catering events, right? Like, catering. So.
Yeah. We know how thirsty she was in season 2, you know, it was Cole Landry's dad and Nick DeCintio's orgy night. So like you have to imagine, you know, we know that she was online dating.
That's right.
She was a cougar on the prowl looking for a bear.
Never that successful with that one, I'm sure. Yeah. But, you know, it would be interesting to know a little bit more. I know that Megan Mullally was challenged in real life with having another gig going on the same time. Yeah. So she was only flying back and forth to kind of be in a few of these select episodes. So if she had been more available, would they have fleshed her character out more? I'm sure. Right. But even so, it's just a delight to see her and to, you know, watch the shenanigans unfold with her and Escapade for sure.
Yeah. We have both Lydia and Constance in this episode.
Right.
Just to stick with the Lydia plot, this is going to end with, you know, Lydia sort of telling Escapade that, you know, she was worried about, you know, that this child actor thing has messed her up. And Escapade's, no, that's a myth. And Lydia's like, yeah, well, now I'm worried about is the whole mom manager thing. And Escapade's like, huh, is that really a thing? And she's like, yeah, you get your work and your family life all screwed up. Just a whole big mess. I just want to be your mom. So I'm firing you.
So it looks like Escapade's prom night might not turn out to be as
not a magical night. Getting fired by your mom.
Bittersweet there. Yeah. But you know, it might be for the best, you know, just to have them have some separation of church and state, so to speak.
Yes, yeah. I think so. Kyle here, we mentioned, is, you know, he's really you know, discouraged that Lydia doesn't think that he's still got that cool factor that can impress the kids. So he gets out there and he's dancing with Escapade and they're like having fun. I love this. Actually, I've already noticed that this is a gif of a Kyle dancing. And
you were going to say that this is a gift that Kyle dances.
Oh, it is a gift. It is.
Sure
is. And I think is it gif, Emily? Do I pronounce it wrong?
I believe it's gif.
You believe it. Okay, yeah, good.
I think it's a hard G.
It's a hard G. Write in, because I say GIF, and sometimes I get
I mean, I was wrong about sonar, though, but I believe I Googled this a while back, and the creator of GIF actually says it was intended to be said as GIF. But
you know what?
I have
some Google fingers right here. Is it a hard G in GIF? Let's see. GIF may be pronounced either as a soft G as in giant or a hard G as in graphic. That's what the Oxford Dictionary said.
So pick your poison. You can do what you want.
I say GIF. Oh, and then this one says why hard G logic doesn't rule pronunciation GIF.
We're learning so much today.
There's a lot of conflicting opinions I'm seeing out there. Yeah. I don't have time to synthesize all of this.
It's not worth it.
but there is already a GIF of Kyle dancing from this episode that I've been seeing on Twitter.
Okay.
And I love that because I think that heretofore, the most frequently used Kyle GIF is him doing the robot. Or pop and lock, the one where he says, can you pop, where Henry asks him if he can pop a lock, and then he like does. So I love that we have like an updated Kyle.
Yeah, we
dancing.
Need dancing gifs of Kyle whenever appropriate. That's great to have in the universe.
Keep them coming. Yeah, yes. Keep them coming. Great stuff. So Escapade and Kyle are dancing. Saxon is now freed up from helping Lydia get rid of Ted. So he's going to join. You know, and they're going to kind of get into this competitive dance off where they're both trying to impress escapade. And at first she's sort of having fun with it. And then she's like realizing that they're really more interested in just competing with each other. And she's going to get a little distracted. Kyle even does a backflip, Emily.
I know. I didn't know he had that in him. I was very impressed.
I didn't bother slowing down to like see. I mean, I'm sure it's a stunt double, but I like
it. It kind of looks like it was him, though.
It looks pretty seamless.
Honestly. Yeah, it looked pretty seamless.
I'm going to go back and slow down
that's,
the tape.
That's a good poll to put out there. Was that really him or not? Yeah, because I think it's him.
You think it's really him?
I think it's really
him. You think it's Ryan Hansen doing that backflip?
You saw him stretch in the bathroom afterwards being like, whoa. That might have been realistic.
That might have just been real. Him. It might have been an improv. Yeah.
Hilarious.
So Escapade starts to walk off leave them to their little competition. Mm-hmm. But that's not good enough. Kyle, you know, wants to know, you know, who were you having more fun with? And she's like, kind of like, oh, like, which one of you is cooler? Which one is more of a cool
dude? Like, when
dude?
You say it like that.
Sounds kind of goofy. Yeah. And this is when Escapade breaks and she says that, you know, she needs her mom to think she's having a great time. And she says, yes, I was having fun with you as part of a performance. I've been acting all night. My sense memory is exhausted from psychological gesturing. I have personalized everyone in this room. And then Kyle's like, yeah, but you just broke character.
Which I love so much. It's so good of him to point that out.
Now, I like how they both like speak this like this pretentious sort of actor language. And like Kyle's just like, yeah, I get it. And then she's like, whatever this is not part of my super objective for this night. And Kyle's like, well, maybe you can include us in your given circumstances.
It's so good.
I like that this sort of draws on what they set up in season two of like Escapade looking up to Kyle as being this cool actor. But now I think we obviously have the impression that Escapade has gone on to have a much more successful acting career than Kyle has. So like the sort of the student has become the master here, but she and Kyle still have this, this repartee, back from when he was telling her what clubs to hang out at when she was 14 years old.
Right. Handing her a beer at the cookout. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Insane. Insane.
Roman has a really good little plot arc.
I'm excited to talk to you about this because I feel like throughout our entire recap of all three seasons, you have always championed Roman. He might be an incel. He might be hard sci-fi, but Dr. Amanda, you are a fan of Roman in many, many ways.
I am.
To see him, you know, sort of soar like a phoenix from the ashes in here, even though there is an incel quality to even.
Yes, but I do think that he has grown and matured and maybe more than any of the other characters, I might argue. Like, has Roman showed real personal growth? And you know, we'll talk about his plot line here, but I think we go to a familiar place with Roman where there's a woman at the party and where it's gone one way so many times before. I think that this is like a real triumph. So, you know, Roman, we found out last week that after expanding his creative consciousness and his creative unconsciousness, Emily, he expanded them both, and he cracked the plot of his sci-fi opus. And he comes in here and he's still been working on it, and he's telling Lucy it's called Wells of Time, and he thanks Lucy for shaming him into taking mushrooms. You know, they're going to reminisce a little bit about prom. Lucy calls prom performative social hierarchy bullshit. You know, Roman sells his story about prom where his date, Milda Peel, laughed so hard about jocks and socias making fun of Roman that her headgear sprung off.
Oh, that sounds brutal, but it really paints a great picture for
us.
It
does. It does. The headgear sprung. It's it does paint a
weird
picture.
That sounds painful to her, actually.
It does. Honestly, yeah. That's what you get for laughing at your date. So F prom and the entire prom industrial complex. But, you know, Roman kind of changes his tune when he's standing at the buffet manning the chicken fingers.
As one does these scenarios.
Yeah. I like that. Like, I like how Henry's usually at the bar when everybody's there. It's like Henry's the bartender. Roman's like standing by the chafing dishes, sometimes eating the food. That's like, that's it. That's his natural, natural placement there. But he's writing in his moleskin, like working on his sci-fi when this very cool looking, like, you know, she's wearing glasses. So it's signaling slightly nerdy.
Yeah. From the texts of she's all that. She's, nerdy, but cool.
Yeah.
Take those glasses off and she'll be a total knockout.
She'll be a total babe. So she asks Roman what he's working on, and he, you know, tells her in his kind of like dismissive, superior tone that he's a sci-fi writer.
How many times has he given this spiel and had someone dismiss him, right?
Right.
Or think that they know what he's talking about, but then end up not being that big of a fan of hard sci-fi the way he needs them to be, right?
She likes sci-fi, and Roman's like, you know, very incredulous. And he's like, well, this is hard sci-fi. It makes Dune look like Star Wars. To which he replies, yeah, well, Dune basically is Star Wars.
Sick burn. Real sick burn.
This blows Roman away. He's so impressed. So they get into talking about his idea, and she's like into it and says, you know, this could totally be a quality streaming series. So she wants to talk more later, and Roman goes back to the kitchen, and he's like kind of like a little bit love struck. And Lucy's gonna give him a hard time, like whatever happened to F prom. And Roman says, like, I don't do romance, but I think I felt what might have been a romantic feeling. Lucy says, well, that was just lust. Roman says, no, my lust criteria are very high.
Yeah, like what would he dissect apart as this potential?
Yeah, know, body, like a 6.5.
Right,
eyes,
yeah. We remember him rating Casey. And
would it
being,
hurt you to go to the gym every now and then? Just
totally unforgiving.
So
she probably is enough up to snuff physically for him.
Notoriously
in a way that he
high lust criteria Roman. But they really talked and they had a real connection. She had a sick burn on Dune. She was really into his idea. So, you know, he seems to have, love in his eyes. And Constance has advice because Constance is here, which is great. She decided to come on site today because this was such a big deal party for Ron, and she wants to be there because they're partners. But this is really Constance in business. That's not her strong suit. But Constance and love, that is where she shines.
Coin flip.
Coin flips. If there's one thing I take away from all of my relationships, marriages, affairs, flings, one night stands, blindfold parties, coin flip apps, and Roman just stops and goes, Jesus.
Coin flip F. I've never heard of that before, and I applaud.
It does the coin
party down
help you pick between two people, or
I
is
would
it
assume.
Like, is it one person and you flip yes or no?
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't know, heads or tails.
Or
I feel like you're already engaging.
Or is it a heads or tails situation?
Yeah, we got to investigate this more. I think it's important.
I'm not going to Google that one, Emily.
I wouldn't do that.
And guess.
No, that's more of a like reach back out to Ken Marino and see if he can.
Maybe I should.
Our friend Ken Marino, our friend of the podcast, Ken Marino, he might know what coin flip F's entails.
Entails. In heads and in tails. But the message is, the takeaway, Emily, is follow your heart.
Right, which I think has been, you know, a constant saying throughout this entire series.
It's a constant.
It's a constant catch-all phrase for her.
So Roman goes back out to the party and they have the, like, you know, we talked about the prom tropes. There's like the across the prom eye contact mm-hmm. and like the smile and wave and the awkward waves with the tongs. And it's very sweet. But then a guy comes up to her and they start making out and she obviously has a boyfriend. Womp, womp.
Such a bummer.
Bummer, dude. Yeah. When she comes back to Roman later in the party, she wants to keep on talking about his sci-fi ideas, but Roman's hurt and he's like, are you sure you don't have some guy to make out with? And we learn that that's her boyfriend, right. And they sort of talk it out. And later when Roman comes back to the kitchen, he reports that, like, he's happy. He has good news for Constance and Lydia. And Constance is like, oh, did you get kissed at the prom? And Roman's like, no, it's not like that. She's a development executive and sci-fi's hot right now. And she's into his idea and wants to make it a streaming series. And Lucy's like, well, what about the romantic feelings? And he's like, well, I guess I just never experienced somebody who's into my stuff. And it's a really great feeling that I mistook for love or something. Okay. This is amazing. This is an amazing scene, amazing development for Roman here, that he is looking at a woman as a sex object and then finds out that they can have a connection over something that has nothing to do with sex.
You're right. Wow. He has grown. Proud of you, Roman.
I didn't know it was possible, but now Roman has taught me that, in fact, it is, that women can have interests and careers.
Yeah, and can be fully formed human beings.
They can be fully formed human beings with lives of their own, and you can have a connection with them that has nothing to do with sex. And it's great, and this is good news for Roman.
Yeah, it sounds like it works out well for both sides, because now she's got a really cool project that she can produce, and his story will finally be at the fingertips of all of his fans and even more.
Yes, Wells of Time coming soon to Smidgen.
Yes, Smidgen, that streaming service that none of us have yet, but I'm certain will be a huge hit soon.
It's the future of streaming, quality content optimized for today's media. Is this what Quibi was supposed to be?
For Roman's sake, I hope not. But no, doesn't he say, like, on fridges?
Yeah.
Like, your computer, your phone, everywhere.
But yeah, because Quibi was supposed to be generate content for mobile devices.
That's right. Yeah.
So this sounds like maybe Smidgen is the second coming of Quibi. I don't know.
Only time can tell.
Only Wells of Time can tell. I hope for Roman that this works out. This is great.
Me too.
All right. So Henry, Emily.
Yes.
Henry's at this prom and
he's got really good hair.
He's got 90s hair and he says that this is gel and not a wig. But Emily, this has got to be a wig.
What the hell is this? This is like, I'm not, typically I'm not that critical of plot lines in shows, especially like this one that doesn't take itself too seriously. But I'm like, what was this plot for him? Like, who came up with this? He could have just been a guy making dirty martinis for Sloane and that's kind of it. And, you know, hanging out with Evie at the end of the night. But instead, he's got this like really weird hair that's not even explained within like the first like minute or two. Like,
so So the justification for Henry's hairstyle is first of all, Emily, do you want to paint the word picture of this hairstyle?
So I think most of us who grew up, you know, late 80s, 90s-ish, and have memories of all of this know that a mushroom haircut was king. Mm-hmm. I had a huge crush on multiple boys who had mushroom haircuts. I loved the way that they swept to the sides.
It's like a Devon Sawa, yes. Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
That's right. That's right. Let's name them all. There's
Shades
so
of
many.
Vanderbeek, as Kyle says.
Real Vanderbeek energy. Yeah, we loved a middle part with hair cut around. It was almost like a bowl cut, but not quite. It was a mushroom cut. And I think by maybe
last week was the mushrooms.
Yes, that's right. Mushrooms. Now we go to mushroom cuts. I think by like maybe 2000, 2001, we started to kind of move away from that style. For me, I remember it very specifically in middle school as being like the cut.
Yes.
And then, you know, we sort of grew up and had like the swoop, like the ducktail swoop hair. And that was sort of like the updated look.
Yeah. It's hard to pull off anywhere north of, I think, 19 years old is when it starts to like,
I think it's even earlier than that. Yeah. I would posit 16 and no more. Like you got your license, you get a new haircut kind of move, right? Like your hair is in the breeze. You need that swoop that's gelled forward instead of the tendrils of, you know, mushroom cut that are flying back as you open your window and blast
windswept. Yeah. I mean, I would say even in like peak, you know, 1994, this look is not becoming on a man in his mid to late 40s.
I don't think there were any like adults that had this haircut in a good way, right?
No, absolutely not.
This is like a teen look, which, you know, fits in prom perspective, but it does not look good on Henry. Let me just say it. And like, but he knows it. It's part of the whole joke.
It's a goofy little adorable thing that he and Evie are doing because they both missed their prom back in the day. And she suggested they do a funny 90s flashback prom. So Robin says, must be getting serious if you're in the humiliate yourself phase. It's, of course, like, you know, Henry looks ridiculous here. And then when Evie eventually shows up, she's just looks like a totally normal, sophisticated adult.
It's not like she came with like teased bangs or anything like that. It's just, she's like, oh, hey, she looks like a mom coming to pick up her kids from the prom.
But this is, I think, like Henry is totally smitten with Evie. They're doing cute little couple gags together. Like that's what this is representing. We're going to see like Evie is supposed to show up. First of all, like she's, I mean, I know that the show always takes place at their job. So like that's how they have to show Evie's relationship with Henry. But you know, it's his job. It's not your prom. Like he's still just going to be tending bar and you're going to be at this party. But we see Henry calling Evie throughout the night. She's running late. She's not there yet. He's leaving her like several like messages where he's like, hey, guess you're not here yet.
Yeah, he's very needy.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's got high school energy here. Yeah, it's more than just a haircut.
Maybe the haircut in like sort of it notifies the rest of his body that he needs to revert back to, sort of his like teen years.
It's a wig, right, Emily? It's a wig. That's not just gel. It has to be a wig.
It has to be a wig. Because he does have a lot of hair though.
Does he? I guess.
Yeah, because you think about it being swooped back and sort of like thrown to the side. So it might be his real hair.
Okay.
But so luckily he doesn't wear his hair like this.
So we have to ask Ken Marino what a coin flip F is and was that Henry's real hair?
And maybe we quiz him on top of it. How do you say GIF? And do you know the difference between echolocation and sonar?
So much.
He's
going
to be like, I'm never responding to you ever again.
He would love it. He would
love
it.
We digressed.
So, you know, Roman is going to ask Henry if he's getting stood up. And, you know, Henry tells a story of his high school prom where he got stood up at that prom because his date's ex did the Say Anything move where you stand under a window and blast a song over a boombox.
Classic John Cusack. Love that movie, even though it's really problematic when you think about it. And wish someone had done that for me when I was in high school. Would have loved that.
Well, Emily, Roman did that. He tried that once.
Yeah, and he got hit with a cup of urine from the girl's dad. So maybe it doesn't always pan out the way you think it
doesn't
would.
Always pan out because it is weird and problematic. And I think that that's one of the possible outcomes of trying that move.
Yeah, this is true. Not to mention just disturbing the peace.
So eventually Evie does show up and she's sorry that the dinner went late, but you know, it got very businessy and mm-hmm. she has, you know, some good news and bad news. The bad news is that the part she wanted to get him, Colonel Stryker, was Mark Strong type, went to someone else, Mark right. Strong.
Yep.
But the good news is she's promoted now. She got this promotion. She's overseeing this whole franchise called Star Saga.
Mm-hmm. Sounds promising.
He's moving to Tunisia to film it, which sounds like, and Henry's like, well, where's the good news? This, you know, I didn't get a part in my girlfriend's moving to Tunisia.
Right.
But he can't be Colonel Stryker, but he can be a different colonel in a different franchise, Colonel Bellorian. And now that she's in charge, she gets final say for who's cast. So here yeah. we have Henry is getting this other potential brush with stardom dangled in front of him yet again. And this is very reminiscent of when Casey got a job at the end of season one,
right,
and was going to go away for work just when their relationship like seemed to be in a really good place.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I think like there's a level of him being like, okay, but what's the catch here? Mm-hmm. You know, is this actually going to pan out the way I want it to? But this seems like a much more like realistic relationship in a way that I think his relationship with Casey never really was. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. It does seem to be more grounded and based on something real. But I think it's like this is seems to be getting to a place where it's like Henry is going to have to see if he's going to keep up with Evie and her lifestyle. He's almost going to have to take the jump to become right. a Hollywood actor mm-hmm. because her life is going to take her in all of these places. And I don't know, like, it does she want him to just tag along or will she be disappointed if he doesn't live up to his potential? So I can see Henry being faced with like that existential crisis of like, you've already rejected this thing and moved past it. And now are you going to jump into it again just to keep up with this person that you really care about? Like, right. I wonder if their relationship is sustainable if Henry like stays a high school teacher and a caterer.
Right. Exactly. But this also brings up like the former mention that you had last week that we talked about, which was, does he have kids? I can imagine that he would if he's being offered a job to potentially go to Tunisia yeah. with her and be Colonel Bellorian. Mm-hmm. It would seem that, you know, it's probably a pretty good deal. Like, can he do this? So, you know, why not?
Yeah, it's sort of like, why not? But then you think about like, this is something Henry having like given up on acting. Like, it's like, can his heart take it again to put himself back into right. in this like crucible of, you know, okay, you get a part and you think you're going to be a star and then you get rejected again. It's right. like, it'll be interesting to see if Henry jumps at that. And maybe we will end up hearing more about what happened after Vlauer, Emily.
That's right. Because I didn't even think like, about
he
that.
Did, you know, we do think at the end of season two that he made a go of it. Like, did mm-hmm. he get burned by
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Very good point to bring up. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. Maybe they'll bring it up in the final episode.
We really have to talk about Ron, Emily.
So for those of you who, you know, faithfully listen to us every week, but never see what we actually look like or what we're doing, I have a red microphone and I have to believe that it's pretty much the same shade that they painted Ken Marino's face while he was acting this out, especially towards the end of the episode uh-huh. before he uses the lady face paint to cover
himself.
Do you
have any of that lady stuff for your yeah. face?
Like, an incredible physical performance.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
This is incredible.
I felt ill watching it.
You know, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the worst feeling in the world to have food poisoning. I've been pretty lucky, knock on wood, that it's only happened to me, I think maybe once or twice. Mm. But when you're in the throes of it, it is just a miserable, wrenching experience. And to have that happen at work to him, it's a total Ron moment. It just feels very on brand for him because he's just always going through it.
Yes.
But the level to which they took this, especially towards the end. Wow.
They took it all the way there. Awesome. They went for it. They went for it big time. This was full tilt. And you know, Ron is actually, he's relieved, Emily, that this is food poisoning because he thought he just couldn't handle the pressure. And you know, we mentioned the sea urchin.
Yes.
Lucy tried to take out all the stops for this party. So she made this really fancy appetizer with sea urchin, red urchin that she got. And Ron's like, wait, you bought sea urchin? I meant do the shrimps, make the shrimps fancy.
Right, right. Yeah. And he kind of like panic eats all of them.
The whole tray.
Right, right.
Which is actually ends up, he's like a little bit of a hero.
Yeah, because he saved everybody else from horrible food poisoning, which, you know, in catering, I think is definitely like the biggest RDD.
Oh yeah.
Like you don't want people to get sick from your food. That's, you know, and you know, 9 times out of 10, people, I mean, she even says to him towards the end, she goes, did it smell funny? Did it taste funny? And we know that he can't taste or smell anything because of his 4 bouts of COVID. But you would also hope that she would try some of it and smell it, because that's sort of a chef thing to do, is to like, especially when you're working with an ingredient like that, you tend to take the time to just make sure it tastes right and it looks good. And, you know, and you taste components before you assemble everything. So it's interesting to me that she didn't do that, but that's also just me nitpicking.
Come on, Lucy. You're the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to fall on the sword, so to speak. So Ron definitely did that in this episode, even though he didn't realize it at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ron is really nervous about impressing Sloane when he does get introduced to her. You know, she calls him out. Oh, any relationship to the Ron Donald who was cited by the Event Guild for an off-book quinceañera during the lockdown?
And we all know he did a lot of off-book entertainment work.
He did.
So, yeah.
He did. You do what you have to do, Emily.
Right.
Eventually, it's first, I think, Henry that notices that Ron is sweating, you know, to which he says, you know, pressure makes diamonds. And then, you know, as it gets worse, he starts sweating very profusely, slapping himself in the face. Lydia tells him he looks red and wet,
which really paints a picture. Woo.
Roman tells him he looks like a lobster being boiled while having a heart attack. And he pulls out the pressure makes diamonds line again, to which Roman says, very rarely, it usually just crushes things.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, he's having a rough go of it, but you know, he's keeping it together for them in the meantime. And you know, it's tough to watch because you just can tell that it's gonna get worse.
And it does get worse. It does. This is when, you know, Lucy finds out that the urchin guy sold her hot urchin. And it was like, you know, Rod asks, hot, like stolen. And she's like, stolen and left in a hot car.
Awful. Yeah. Did it smell and taste off? I can't smell or taste. I've had COVID 4 times.
So, you know, he's relieved that it's food poisoning and asks Lucy for some of that lady face stuff. And he tells her he's going to return it, but she's like, no, just keep it.
Yeah. Like who wants that back? No, thank you. Especially given how wet he looks. It's like, oh no,
very
keep
wet.
That. Yeah.
He's very wet.
Powdering his nose, but in a real way.
Yeah. Lydia knows about powdering your nose. In the bathroom where, Ron is, applying the lady face stuff, Kyle comes in too, icing his back after you know, doing the dance off. Henry's in there. They have this moment like where Ron, you know, says there's no joke getting older. And like there's the three of them standing in that bathroom just kind of looking pathetic. You know, Henry has his really terrible haircut and he's like leaving a long voicemail for his girlfriend who's not there yet. Kyle's icing his back and Ron is like just literally melting as a human. And I thought it was like kind of a poignant moment of the three of them.
I know we've seen them through a lot together. And mm-hmm. even though we haven't seen them in the last 10 years or so, it's wild to kind of realize that, you know, we've aged, they've aged, but they're making it work. They're getting through it. It's just, you know, it's a harder game when you're a little bit older doing this kind of work.
Is. And the hardest part of climbing Mount Everest, Emily, is the last 50 feet. That's what Ron says right as he just walks straight into a wall and collapses.
Oh, yeah. He's in a bad way at this point. No foundation will fix what's going on.
No, this might be a problem the foundation can't fix. I just would like to sign a petition to have more situations where Ken Marino walks into a wall.
Would he appreciate that? I don't know.
He's very good at it. From yeah. when he walks with the tray and,
yeah.
fills,
and drops everything. And
drops
yeah.
everything. This is like brilliant physical comedy.
Yeah. Here. Yeah. When he asked us if we had seen any other episodes, all I could think about was this. And I was like, oh yeah. I can't wait to talk about it. Yeah. So I looked at my stock pot a little differently after watching this because, you know, it's there are multiple uses for it, I guess.
There
now.
Are.
Let's
there
hope
are.
I never have to use it for anything other than stock or boiling a lobster. But
it's a large vessel.
It's a large vessel that can contain the worst of things.
What you put in it is up to you.
That's
Emily.
Right. That's right. The
thing. It's just possibility, stock pot.
In the heat of the moment, when you have no other options and you really need to hide from all the other guests, and this is your only, you know, chance to really try to control the situation, I say, you know, hats off. Pots open.
Mm-hmm. Any port in a storm.
Yes, this is true.
So Henry does bring Ron into the kitchen because he does want to power through, Emily. He
yes.
doesn't want to give up. He still thinks he has it in him. And that is when, you know, said pot, stock pot comes into play. He, you know, he realizes he can't do this. He's going to need Constance's help, his partner. And she's there today because this was such an important event. He asks Constance if she did the inventory. He asked. She's like, no, I didn't get to it. Constance does not GAF. Like, she's not a very task-oriented person, Emily. We know this about Constance.
Yeah, she likes to kind of like come in and, you know, dust everything with her, like, you know, fun sayings and anecdotal stories.
She'll lead a meditation.
That's right.
She'll listen to you, like, yeah. talk about your love life, mm-hmm. or, you know, she'll give you advice. But the actual nuts and bolts of the tasks of catering, like, that's not her strong suit.
Yeah. Hold it together, though. Like, this is serious. This is important. This is catering. Yeah. So she finds herself sort of thrust in this role of picking up where Ron has left off because he physically can't do it.
Yeah.
So it's pretty amazing. She has to kind of take over and see if she can score that, you know, deeply coveted business card from Sloan.
This is what it's all about. Like, she doesn't usually like to order people around. There's too much pressure. There's too much tension. It's tensiony, but she does rise to the occasion. I think ultimately because she cares for Ron so much, which is very sweet. Yeah. So she gets that clipboard and she goes out there and starts ordering people around and calling the shots. And we can see, like, Sloan looks impressed. She likes what she sees.
Yeah, it's a pivot, but it seems to work, which is pretty impressive, even though we see Constance have her own, you know, moment where she gets physically ill because she just had to put herself out there like that.
And it's
in the men's room, no less. And I love that moment where Ron's like, Constance, you're in the men's room.
I feel like that's happened a few other times where everyone's in the men's room and comes in.
It's like a default location for everyone in a lot of ways.
She's going to fire Henry on the spot because he's fraternizing with Evie at the party. Sloan seems impressed with that. Mm-hmm. She yells at Saxon and Kyle, who are like hanging a banner. She says, what is it? Like, I said arm's length, like a human arm, not a baby arm.
Yeah, she's walking around, maybe making sure everyone's performing to the best of their abilities. And I love when she fires Henry because Evie goes, who is that? And he goes, don't worry about it. She doesn't even work for us.
I love that. Like, this is kind of like a tried and true party down trope. Like, if the, you know, if the event host is really unhappy with you, just like make a show of pretending to fire somebody.
Right, exactly. But does this coincide with like this opportunity for Henry at the same moment for mm-hmm. him to potentially,
is this his chance to leave?
Yeah,
that could be it. Yeah, they do this, like they fire Jackal Onassis at his party. They fire Casey after George Takei gets poisoned. So again, with that might have been sea urchin involved. I know he had a shellfish.
Shrimp, I think.
Oh, that was a shrimp. Okay.
Shellfish either way. But it is funny. And it's almost like you think that people like to watch someone get fired at a party.
No, if I was hosting a party, I would. Yes. I don't want to see, like, they're like, oh, good, they're taking charge. I would be like, no, like, work this out, not at my party.
Yeah, like, do it afterwards when we're done. Like, when I write a comment card that's unsavory, figure it out, but not in the heat of the moment. We need all the hands we can get to, mm-hmm. like, pass hors d'oeuvres and make sure things are like, cleaned up.
Personally responsible for somebody losing their job.
Totally. Well, maybe that's why you and I don't hire catering companies on a regular basis. I don't know. But it is funny that that tends to be a thing that everyone's like, oh, good job.
Yeah. I love it. I love it when somebody gets fired at my party.
Terrible.
So Constance did a great job. She rose to the occasion. And the most important thing, she exchanged business cards with Sloane Meats. She's overcome with the tension of the whole moment. Even though she was triumphant, she runs to the bathroom to throw up in the garbage. And Ron's in there. And she tells him the news that she did it. She exchanged cards with Sloane. And they both, like, Ron sitting there, pants around his ankles on the toilet. And Constance puking into a garbage can, shout triumphantly, I knew I could do it. I did it.
We're just like very lucky that Sloane is obviously the one person that didn't get the memo to go into the men's room.
So a great party by all metrics there. In the credit scene, we have Henry on the phone with Evie telling her that he's thinking about it. And like, it's like, Henry, you just saw the woman. You've already like left her several voicemails. Like, I get it. They're sweet. They're in love. But this is like, it's a little bit much for
me. Just text her.
Text the woman. And Saxon and Kyle are continuing their dance off to decide who's the coolest. We hear that Kyle just slid down the banister. So Saxon goes to slide down the banister as well and knocks himself out on the escalator, like unconscious.
Apparently. Yeah, it doesn't look good for him, to be perfectly honest.
While Kyle is celebrating, still the coolest.
Yikes.
Good old Kyle.
Yeah, but that says everything.
Saxon's okay.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, you know, falling on an escalator is gnarly business. It's not fun.
Yeah, somebody needs to take him off. It was like still going. It's just, oh,
It can be really, really bad.
His long hair, too.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I was like, watch out for your hair. No.
Anyway. So that was the episode. A couple of funny things that I pulled out. I liked Lucy's talking about pulling out all the stops with the food for this party. She wanted to try an ambient cod fog, Emily.
Sounds disgusting.
You don't do any fog. Do you do many fogs?
No, I tend to stay away from fogs. You know, it's just not my forte. I tend to be somebody that's more of like Ina Garten based. You know, we do fun food that's
stuff that Jeffrey would like.
Yeah, pretty approachable. Josh is my Jeffrey, so you know he's home a lot more than he is, but we make it work.
Yeah. And I liked you know, Constance is going to, you know, she's talking to Roman about his love interest. He's like, but you had an intense connection in the eyes. And Roman says, oh, she had just done a lot of cocaine.
Beautiful.
Sometimes you mistake cocaine for love. And that was season 3, episode 5, Once Upon a Time, Proms Away, Promotional Event. Another really, really fun episode. And Emily, we only have one episode left of the season.
I'm going to break out this bow tie for it. You better believe.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to happen.
We can both.
Yeah, I think we should.
Podcast all dressed up. Well, that is very exciting. Yes. This has been a really fun ride. It's been so fun to talk about all of season 3, experience new Party Down episodes for the first time in over a decade. I sure hope we have the opportunity to do more. But until we talk again next week, Emily, where can everybody keep up with what you're doing?
So you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Emilet, which is like an omelet, but spelled with an E. Where I'm just cooking up a storm as usual, and on the off chance, potentially on a Succession podcast here and there. Mm-hmm. We'll see. New season's about to drop, so it's very exciting.
It's about to drop very, yes. very soon.
Yes. What about you, Dr. Amanda?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter where I am Dr. Amanda R. That's Dr. Amanda R. And speaking of Succession, you can hear me speculating about predictions for the forthcoming season 4 with Grace and Jess. That should be in your pod catchers of choice if you follow post-show recap Succession. And I'm going to be starting, in a few days doing the weekly recaps with Grace, do just one part of a very extensive Succession coverage on post-show recaps, including immediate reactions from Grace, Jess, and Josh. And then I'll be doing weekly deep dives with Grace. I know that Josh and LaTanya are going to be doing a Versus podcast in the Great Versus feed, talking about Successions and Yellow Jackets. So much going on.
So much. Spring is here. It has hit us hard, let me tell you.
It's sproing like Roman's dates headgear.
Yep, that's right.
It's sproing on us like that. So keep up with everything I'm doing. Follow the Party Down feed on Post Show Recaps. Follow the Succession feed on Post Show Recaps, because that's where you'll get more of Emily and myself. And Emily,
yes.
are we having fun?
Yes.
Yes.